Church, happy Sabbath. You know, it's a pleasure to be here and worship with you. It's an honor to lift up God, isn't it? But I have three requests before I get started here. It's kind of a tradition. It's a good tradition. Some traditions are good. Number one, that you think. Number two, don't play with your cell phones unless you're expecting a call from Jesus or you're a doctor. Amen? And number three, that you pray that God guides my thinking. And I want to pray one more time. Can we pray? Let's pray. Loving Father, we come before your holy and mighty presence once again, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit, Father. Otherwise, we're just socializing, Lord. We need edification. Guide and direct my mind, and I pray for your people that will be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's interesting. As we look out at the religious world and we see what's going on, if you was to look at the world today, at the religious world, and think, what is happening out there, what would come to your mind? If you was to look at the religious world, you realize to a person that's an unbeliever, agnostic, atheist, whatever it may be, if they look at the religious world, they think, what I am seeing is absolutely ridiculous. Think about it. There's over 33,000 different religions. Over 33,000. And yet, to the average onlooker that is not religious or anything like that, as he looks at this, this looks absolutely ridiculous. You know what I see? I see a big Tower of Babel. Confusion. I see a big Tower of Babel. Now, how can it be out of all these churches, everybody doing what they want to do? Do you see a problem with it? Yes, I see a problem with it. You know, it's amazing. God addresses this issue very profoundly. I want you to go with me in your Bible. We're going to go to Judges. We're going to go to Judges. Yeah, we're going to go to chapter 21. 21:25. Judges 21:25. Are you there? Amen? Judges 21:25. I still hear pages. Judges 21:25. Amen? In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Everybody did what? Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. You realize God just lumped up the whole religious world. That is the problem. Everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes. You know, I named this sermon, What's Really Happening? The fact is, Satan is trying to get us to do whatever we darn well please, and it's okay. You can find almost any church that will cater to what you want. Am I right? I was past a church just yesterday. Absolutely amazing. There was the big colored flag out there. You know what that represents, right? The rainbow flag. Does anybody need help understanding what that means? Huh? You know what it means? I mean, in other words, gay, homosexuality, it's all good here. Bring it in. It's okay. In other words, we accept it. Now, do we have a problem with that here? No, God loves everybody. But to openly accept it and say that it's okay is a different story. People are accepting things in churches like it's okay. Everybody's doing what is right in their own eyes. That is what is really going on in these last days. And God is saying, I want you to see what is happening. They're building a massive religious tower of Babel. Are you with me? Let's go to Colossians. We're going to keep this scriptural. Let's go to Colossians. We're going to go to chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. This is absolutely an amazing, amazing statement. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware. What does that mean? Take note. Wake up. Understand. See this. Beware. Lest any man spoil you. You ever had something spoil? What do you want to do with it? Throw it out. It stinks. It's no good. It's useless. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after God. You realize that just summed up the whole secular world schooling system. That just summed it up right here. The world system, the philosophy of men, the rudiments of the world. People go to these universities, they go to these colleges, they come out with a PhD, a doctorate, and what have they really accomplished? They're atheist. And it's all about you and what you've accomplished through the vain philosophy and the deceitfulness and the remote rudiments of this world. God says, look out. Don't let it spoil you. Is it happening? It's happening on a mass basis. And it's sad to say, some of our universities, some of our universities are even doing it. It's sad but true. The plot thickens. I'm trying to draw two different mindsets here. What's going on in the religious world and the secular system and the mind conditioning. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Starting in verse 1. Are we there? Amen. This also know that in the last days, good times will come. Is that what it says? What does it say? What does that mean? What does perilous mean? Dangerous. Warning. Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of their own selves. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. Look who I am. It sounds like the very spirit of Lucifer himself. I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High. This is the spirit of Satan himself, instilled into humanity. Sad. For men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud. You just covered the whole entertainment industry, Dove Awards, Academy Awards. I mean, could just come on, look at me. Yeah, you know what's interesting about the Academy Awards? They have a little gold statue. Does anybody remember a little gold statue in the Bible? In the book of Daniel. It's all about self-worship. Is society like this? Am I keeping it real? Amen. The sports industry, you just categorize it all. It's all about you, your pride, what you've accomplished, spoiled. Boasters, proud, blasphemy, disobedience to their parents, unthankful. Man, do we live in an unthankful society? People will cut you off, put you down, don't appreciate nothing in a minute. Is it true? Unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection, you hear of mothers drowning their kids. Wow. Heartbreaking. Fierce despisers of those that are good. You know what's interesting? It says despisers of those that are good. We all want to be liked, don't we? Do we want to be liked? But it says despisers of those that are good. So what the Bible is telling us, if you actually walk with Christ, people are going to despise you. So stop trying to please everybody. There's only one person you want to please. That's Christ. Amen? God is trying to help us understand the issues. Traitors. Wow. Does anybody have a friend trait on them? Oh, yeah. Heady, high-minded. Now, this is amazing. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This is powerful. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We are entertainment addicts. We want to be pleased. We got us our amusement parks. We got our DVDs. We got our iPhone. We got every type of pleasure you can imagine. Is there anything wrong with pleasure? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. People sitting in church even. They're watching their clock. He's 15 minutes over. I got to get out of here. I got a pleasure I got to get to. This is how serious it is. We even sit in church and we want to get out to the world so we could do our pleasure instead of sitting in the house of God and listen to what God has for us. This is a hard message, but it's true. How sad. People will sit and watch some brain dead movie for 2 hours. But when it comes to the house of God, let me get out the door fast to my pleasure. Traitors, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Now this is where God just lumps it all up and says, okay, now here's the deal. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So God is saying this is a mindset of people that are proud, boastful, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure under the mask of religion. Wow. Wow. Under the mask of religion. People doing what they please in their own minds. Would you agree? It's happening. So this is the mindset of one group. They're religious. They're doing what they want. Everything is good. Don't worry about it. I'll do what I want. Don't tell me my ways are wrong. Don't try to direct me in a different direction. I don't want to hear it. Let me do what I want to do. He said, that's powerful, Joe. Really? Let's go to Timothy. Let's go to Timothy again. This time we're going to go to chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. And we're going to go down to verse 2. Preach the word. Do what? Preach the word. Why, Timothy? Why do we want to preach the word? Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned on to fables. God is saying there's going to be a mindset in the last days that says, we don't want to hear the straight truth. Tell us what we want to hear. This is a mind-boggling truth here. God's saying in the last days there's going to be people that go to church and they don't want to hear the truth. That's heartbreaking. That's absolutely heartbreaking. Do you want to hear the truth? Yes. What do you want to hear today? You want to hear a smooth sermon? You want to hear something that tickles your ear? Or do you want the straight testimony? Amen. 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 So what is God's remedy for all this mindset of what's really going on? You've heard of the ecumenical movement. Have you heard of that one? All the churches coming together. It really doesn't matter. Doctrine doesn't matter. Let's just all join together. You know what I call it? The big Babylonian movement. That's what it is. Don't worry about doctrine. Let's just all come together. And that is the issue in the last days. That is the issue in the last days. So what's God's remedy for this mindset, of the Babylonian mindset? Revelation. Revelation 18. Revelation 18. This is powerful. Revelation 18. Are you there? Amen. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. Amen. He cried with a mighty, soft voice. What does it say? With the strong, God wants to expose what is happening. With a strong voice saying, Babylon the Great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. Wow. The habitation of what? God is saying this religious cacophony of all this coming together is a habitation of devils. Mind-boggling. Has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every fowl and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Every unclean and hateful bird. God is saying this system is broken. For all nations have drunk from the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with it, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich. It's talking about the economical system. You can go to this system. We don't care what you do. You're going to get rich. It's all good. You're on your way to heaven. It's a lie. The merchants of the earth have waxed rich through her abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. That's God's remedy right there. He's saying this big religious Babylonian mindset, come out. God's people are in all these religions, but they're honest. They're searching for truth. And God is saying, come out. Come out. Amen? Do you have a burden? Do you have a burden for those brothers and sisters that are out there in Babylon? Do you have a burden for them? Because it says what they cried with a loud voice saying, come out of her, my people. Who is God going to use to call them out? He's going to use you and me. Don't think that you're some pious, spiritual, superior person because you know the Sabbath. You know all this stuff. All that truth is absolutely beautiful. But the main thing is we love these people and we want them to understand the issues and not be deceived. I have a burden for my brothers and sisters. I want to reach them with this beautiful truth. So that's the mindset of the worldly Babylonian thinking. Now I'm going to draw another mindset. Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Verse 6. And I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. This is God's remedy. The true gospel. Because there's a false gospel out there. And all the religions are buying in to this false gospel. Are you with me? Do you believe it? Amen. Colossians. Preach the word. Colossians. We're going to go to chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This is God's remedy. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Do what? What? Those things that are where? Did it say worldly? It said above. God is saying, here's the remedy. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things of the world. Is that what it says? Set your affections on not things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Amen. When Christ, who other life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with Him. So God is saying, set your mind on things above. So many people, their mind is so focused on this world, religious people. They put God in the very back, they go after the world, and they try to combine the two. It's dangerous. There's nothing wrong. I want you to understand me clearly here. There's nothing wrong with pursuing a degree, a job, whatever the world has. The problem is when you put the things of the world above seeking God first. How many go into university to get some sort of degree or whatever it is without asking, God, is this what you want me to do? Will this bring glory to you? Do you ask that question in your life before you make choices? God, is this what you want me to do? Will this bring glory to you? This is the mindset God wants us to have. Whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do all what? To the glory of God. The Babylonian mindset is whatever feels good, everybody does what's right in their own eyes. A form of godliness. God is looking for true transformation. Amen? I want to be transformed. Do you? Amen. I'm going to read something here from the Spirit of Prophecy. This is from the Great Controversy, page 464 and 465, the Great Controversy. Many of the revivals which have occurred during the last half century, many of the revivals that have occurred in the last half century, the same influence have been in work to a greater or less degree that will manifest in the more extensive movements of the future. There is an emotional excitement. An emotional excitement, mingling of the true with the false that is well adapted to mislead. She says, an emotional excitement. People want to be entertained. They want emotional excitement. They come to church, they want to be entertained. Get the band ripping, get someone to do something. Throw a backflip. Am I serious? She says emotionalism will be in the last days. Satan is having a heyday with you. I got news for you, brother. I don't need emotionalism. I need transformation. If I'm struggling with gossip, if I'm struggling with hatred, if I'm struggling with whatever, emotionalism is going to do nothing for me. I need transformation. Satan knows that. The last thing he wants is for people to understand that they need transformation. Just keep them excited. Keep them entertained. Don't let them see the real issues, that they are messed up. Amen. It's true. It's true. Go to 1 John. Chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're talking about a mindset. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. Are we there? Amen. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. God saying, this is it. This is it. This is the mindset that I want you to have. Set your mind on things above. Love one another. What did it say about Babylon? She's full of every hateful The Babylonian mindset is, I'll do whatever I want to do in religion, and if I hate you, who cares? It's true. For this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him? Because his own works were evil. You start living the truth, and people that are in the Babylonian mindset, they're not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy. So stop trying to please people. Please Jesus. And as a result, people will be drawn to the authenticity of your love for them. That's what people are really drawn to. Does this person really care for me? Does this person really care about what I'm struggling with? Or they just want to get on the phone and tell, did you hear? Did you know? Huh? God help us. Help us to truly love one another. Amen? Not as Cain and slew his brother. Wherefore he slew him? Because his own works were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Marvel not if the world hates you. The Bible says to be a friend of the world is to be what? An enemy of God. The Babylonian mindset is we could be a friend of the world. It's all good. Don't worry about it. It's not scriptural. And that is the issue in the last days, this whole Babylonian mindset where anything, everything goes, it's all good. God's a happy camper with it. It's not true. It's not true. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love our brothers. Wow. Who wants to pass from death to life? Well, one person does. Praise God. Let's try this again. Who wants to pass from death to life? The Bible says if we love our brothers and our sisters, we have passed from death to life. God's way is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. Lucifer's trying to keep the world entertained with all this nonsense. God's saying, here's the deal. Follow me. I'll teach you how to love. I'll show you true joy. Don't bite into the apple of the world. Amen. Let's go to Romans. Go to Romans. We're preaching the word up in here. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Romans. What did Peter say? Preach the word. Romans chapter 12. Paul's going to sum it up real good for here. He's going to sum it up real good. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. Present what? A what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Do what? Be what? Not conformed to this world. Well, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? By the Word of God. that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What I'm going to touch on here is very important. It's all been important. The Babylonian mindset, we have to understand the issues, because a lot of people are going to be deceived on what are the real issues. If you go back in ancient Babylon, the three things that they try to use to draw down the people of God in Daniel, the first thing was lifestyle and appetite. That's what it was. Nebuchadnezzar said, I got to change their lifestyle, the way they live. He was trying to change their mindset. These three young Hebrews said, it's not going to happen. We're going to do it God's way. And they were 10 times stronger. Are you familiar with it? They said, we will not cater to this Babylonian mindset. We're going to live the way God wants us to live. So it was a lifestyle. Number two, the king set up an idol of solid gold. And he said, when the music gets cranking, I'm paraphrasing, when you hear the music and it is going on, bow down and worship the image. When what got started? The music. Lifestyle, music, and it finally turned into, will you worship? Those three issues are the exact same three issues he's going to use in these last days. Lifestyle, music, and worship. He knows this. That's why you go into a lot of these churches, they got the band cranking, everything's happening, and it's all going on. Mega churches, they're going to fall down and worship the beast. Lucifer knows what he's doing. People say, lifestyle's no big deal. Music, Joe, you're getting a bit extreme. What Bible are you reading? The Babylonian Bible? I mean, seriously. Let me share something with you. How powerful it is. Let me share something with you. Dr. Richard Pelago, this is a brain specialist. Music can trigger a flood of emotions and images that have the ability to instantaneously produce very profound, powerful changes in the emotional state. Wow. Take it from a brain guy. 25 years of working with the brain, I still cannot affect a person's state of mind than one single song. This brain specialist says, I cannot do to the human brain and all my expertise what one song can do. That is powerful. Do you think Lucifer is going to use music in the last days? Absolutely he is. I want you to hear this. This is from someone that we all know pretty good from way back when. Has anybody heard of Jimi Hendrix? Who's heard of Jimi Hendrix? Yeah. We've heard of Jimi Hendrix. You want to hear what he says about music? Who would like to hear what Jimmy has to say about music? Yeah. There is a sound, a vibration, a resonance that rearranges our molecular structure to the point that you want to touch people. The change of the mind, and we want to touch. You see all this rap music, all the touchy, everything that's going on. It's crude. We're making our music into an electrical church, a new kind of Bible, a new religion, a new church. Who do you think inspired that? Jimi Hendrix. Lucifer was coming right through him and exposing exactly what he's doing through music. Huh? The avenues of our senses have to be guarded because Satan is going to manipulate and deceive the masses. We have to be on our guard and listen and watch and understand the issues. Amen? I'm going to get ready to wrap it up here. This is from Testimonies. Seventh-day Adventist. Are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Seventh-day Adventists have been chosen by God as a peculiar people, separate from the world by the great cleaver of truth. He has cut them out of the core of the world and brought them into connection with himself. He has made them his representative and called them to be ambassadors for him, the last work of salvation. He's called us for what? The last work of salvation. Why do you know the truth? Why has God given the truth to you? Because he's counting on you with this precious truth that he's given you. We are the last stand in this world of Babylonian mindset. Amen. In a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers to them to be entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. The last what? Warning to a perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angel's message. There is no other work. There is no other work of so great importance that shall allow nothing else to absorb their attention. That is powerful. She's saying, focus. Zero in on the target. This is it. God has called you and he's called me to proclaim the last day message and warning to the world. And what is that message? It's the three angels' message. God loves you. He died for you. The religious system is broken. Come out. Come join my people. Take a stand for the truth. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, we want to thank you for this beautiful, beautiful truth. that you've given to your people. You know, in your word it says they receive not the love of the truth. Lord, we want to love the truth. Help us to be faithful to this divine message and warning to all inhabitants of humanity, Lord. We're weak, we're broken, we're destitute, Lord. We need transformation. We need your Holy Spirit. I pray for everybody here today, Lord, that they will take a look at their lives. The Bible says, examine yourselves, and to prioritize, and to seek you first, and to put you first. Thank you for the beauty of who you are. The message is truly about a God that loves us and wants us to understand the issues and save us from the course that the world is heading to destruction. Be with us as we leave, Lord. And I pray that people will recommit their lives to you today, Lord. Recommitments, transformation, new births, Lord. Help us to leave here today changed people. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to sing our